Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
My goodness, it's exciting, some things that are going on. It's amazing. If you haven't yet gone to the VFN Torch, you got to go to the VFN Torch. Can you pull that up in front of me while I'm talking, the VFN Torch?
Sure.
It's you think about it. Everything that you could think about, I mean, think over 2,000, maybe almost 2,500, 3,000.
Almost 3,000.
Different. And, you know, to think about this. Here's some of the things that you can listen to give you perspective, and that's what we're seeking. The Joneses, they're not all they cracked up to be. The first family has a murder in it. And the stabbing that takes place in the schools in Pennsylvania, we're kind of merging all that and kind of figure out, you know, what's taking place. You can find out about that on the VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com. But there's so many different aspects of things that you can find in regards to this, the Azusa Street Revival that we talked about. Chick-fil-A now is toppling KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, as a top chicken producer, and finding out how God has blessed you. Think, you know, you can run your business that way as well. The RFID chip, you know, the prelude to the mark of the beast and what's taking place in the context of that in our news. Hunger for God is taking place, in the lives of so many people right now, talking about the hunger for God and assimilation. When did that become a negative concept? Because remember, e pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one.
Mm-hmm.
That the enemy has turned that around, and it's like, you know, though we're one, we're many. That destroys us. We're divided. Anything divided. This is actually on the VFN Torch. And I mean, even the bison, buffalo are fleeing Yellowstone, and we have a video. You can see this. I mean, it's just filled with things to encourage you. You go to VFNTV.com, and you can click on the Torch in the upper left-hand corner, or you can even subscribe to the Torch letter, and it'll come to you in your email. We want to make sure that's available to you. We're continuing the conversation today, this prophetic word. You know, what did Jesus say? And what sparred this was, you know, the Lord's speaking to me. I mean, the Lord just began to speak to me in a night vision and show me some detailed things about how we got to be prepared. You know, and he tells us to have your feet prepared with the gospel of peace. You got to be able to keep our peace no matter the circumstances. And I'm not good at that. I mean, I'm better at it than I used to be. You're better at it than you used to be. Aren't you better than you should?
Yeah.
A
little bit.
We still need help.
Definitely. Lots of grace.
Now, John, he can keep his peace.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
He's cool.
But think about it. If we can't keep our peace, it's like, dear Lord, we need help. We can keep our peace. And the thing about it is you know, as the Lord is talking to the disciples about when he's coming back and what's going to happen before he comes back in Luke chapter 21, that's what we're talking about. 21:1-36, and if you missed our earlier programs, this is the third part of that, so you can be encouraged and maybe go back and listen to that. But he tells us to be prepared beforehand, and that's what we're doing right now. We're like, okay, I'm hearing you. I'm realizing there's some things I need to work on in my life. I need to abide to begin to have God change the way I handle things and the way I do things. And we got to say, you know, I lay that down at the cross. And there's something so specific about abiding is that you know, the way we kind of share you to do it at iabide.org, kind of share you a simple pattern. It needs to be simple and duplicatable, because if it's complicated, only you can do it, and now you're not promulgating, you're not reproducing after mm-hmm. yourself. It's not about just you, it's about everybody. Mm-hmm. And five simple words, you know, every day that you spend time with the Lord, and if you miss a day, you know, it's not about that. This is kind of a five simple words. One is gratitude. I get me a little blank journal and I spend time with God and I say, you know what? I write the word gratitude. Like, what am I grateful for? To the Lord, not from other stuff. Just like, God, you're acknowledging how God made that or did that or provided that or moved in your life. That's what this gratitude is about. This is not about men, you and stuff. And so, because in Romans chapter 1, he says the reason why judgment came is because they failed to acknowledge God and be grateful to God. And so every day, think about it. And it just puts things in perspective. It's hard to complain and whine mm-hmm. and all that when you're actually, you know, not that John does, but the, yeah, right.
Anymore.
Right. Has John ever complained?
I don't complain.
Well, right today. John Hilliard. But think about it. So you write down gratitude. What am I grateful for today? And it's like, thank you, Lord, for. You know, you just write it down. Whatever. It could be just a small statement, but you'll find out. When you start seeing him in your life, and he's all in your life, he's waiting for you to acknowledge him in your life. And that's that moment. And if that's all you ever do that day, it's okay. I mean, imagine if your son or your daughter comes into you as a parent and they go, I just want to tell you how grateful I am for you, how you provided us a house and how you've provided me a room in this house and you filled that pantry. You've worked so hard, Mama. You worked so hard, Dad, filling this pantry with food and you fixed it, and I'm just so grateful. I'm going to go off and study right now because I'm grateful for my education and that you're letting me go to the school right here and not even asking me to work during this time. I just want to say thank you. Believe me, your parents are okay with that.
You don't have
to say anything else. Well, if your parents are okay with that, I mean, think about God, who's perfect. He's okay with gratitude.
Yes.
The gratitude will bring you into, but I'm also grateful for your word. And the next word that you would put down in your journal would be word. Because thy word hath a hit in my heart that I'm not going to sin against you. You know, I want to get into God's word. And what verse of scripture am I trying to hide in my heart this week? And for the whole week, that's one verse. I will just meditate on that particular verse. And then I'll just start reading the word of God. Reading the word of God and where the Lord is leading me, maybe systematically or whatever. But I stop when something jumps off the page, when I feel like the Lord's speaking to me about a particular scripture, and it's like, wow, you know, and it's living, it's active, and it'll just jump off. Then what happens is then you take stop and write the word where, W-H-E-R-E, and then just write down that scripture. That's where God stopped you, is where God spoke to you, and you write that down. You don't keep going, just stop. There's just a relationship going on between you and the Lord. You're learning how to have a conversation with the Lord, and what's he saying to you. Mm-hmm. And the next word you write is what. Write the word what. And in that, you would say, God, what are you saying to me about me? Mm-hmm. What are you saying to me? Not what is he saying to you about your spouse, about your children. I mean, this is your time with God. You can deal with all those things later in your prayer time. But what are you saying to me about me with this? What is it? And then you write that down, whatever it is. It could be, you know, two or three words. It could be two or three pages. I don't know. It's a blank journal. Then after you have that, you just soak on that. And you think, my goodness. And the last thing that you put down, the last of the five words, is cross, C-R-O-S-S. Understand, outside of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, outside of the acknowledgement and the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and his finished work on the cross of Christ, you will not have the power and the ability or the grace to walk out this relationship with God. It empowers you. What God did on that cross and finished on that cross and Jesus finished, your faith in Jesus and your faith in that finished work will empower you. And what happens quite often, we start picking things up we shouldn't pick up. We start worrying about something, or something is so big we can't even wrap our brains around it, and we have to deal with it. We don't know what to do. And we say, you know what, Lord, I just thank you for your finished work on the cross, and I'm going to lay whatever it is down. I'm going to lay America down. Right. I'm just going to lay it down to the cross, and I'm just going to trust you with this because you finished this work. It could be your children, it could be your spouse, it could be your job, finances, economy, it could be a million different things, I mean, whatever it is. And you consciously just let go of that and lay that down at the cross at that moment. And then you say, hey, you start talking to God. You just praise God. And this, your whole prayer life changes at this point. And I want to encourage you, if you have not yet began to abide, that's how simple it is. Five simple words. Gratitude. He says, enter my gates with thanksgiving. Gratitude. The second is word. Thy word hath I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. Well, if we don't have God's word in our heart, we're sinning, probably don't even know it. If we're forgetting God's word, we actually could be doing things against God's word and don't know it. But if we're constantly in his word actually guides us like a shepherd's rod and keeps us from, or at least lets us know to turn back, as Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7. He said that the law is spiritual and I'm unspiritual. And the law lets me know when I've done wrong. Therefore, I rejoice in the law. I rejoice in the word. Not, it doesn't save us, but it lets us know when to repent. And then the word, and then the where. You know, where is God stopping me? Where is he speaking to me? Write that down. And then the what? God, what are you saying to me about me? And then finally the cross. Lord, what do I need? Sometimes everything's fine. You can't think of anything. You can just say, God, thank you for your, because you need to be constantly reminded. You said it is finished. Mm-hmm. It is finished. Mm-hmm. And it just puts you at great peace when you know it is finished. So I encourage you, if you have not yet began to abide with the Lord, you need to do it today. It's very simple. Gratitude, word,
where
what, and cross. Is that not simple? You can do that with a crayon.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking forward to hearing your testimonies. We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How often have you stopped to consider the power of your words? This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Well, we've all heard that schoolyard chant that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that's really not true. Words do hurt. Here's Priscilla Shire.
The Bible says that life and death are in the power of your tongue and the power of my tongue. Are you speaking life over your family or death? Are you speaking life over those things that God has placed in your sphere of influence, or are you speaking death? What is coming out of your mouth? James chapter 3 says that the tongue is one of the smallest instruments of your body that can set aflame the entire course of your life. Is your life on fire? It might have to do with the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Words are powerful. They can bring hurt or healing. And that's a good reminder to speak well for the good of others and yourself. You can hear Priscilla's entire inspirational message today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded within inside of me. I go, whoa! I was in my 20s. That's powerful. That's deep. And I go, what's the one thing, that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow. Mm.
That was the beginning. One little statement. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, mm-hmm. it'll change your life because he is the word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm Greg Lancaster. We are continuing this conversation that we began in an earlier program, and we mentioned abiding at the beginning of this program to let you know outside of abiding with Jesus Christ that it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to ease you to help you understand that that God's going to empower you to be able to do this. And we're talking about, the disciples asked the question, when would you be coming back and what would it be like? They asked Jesus this. And so in Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 36, we've been kind of talking about that because of the fact that Jesus, the Lord just revealed to me some wisdom about how we need to be prepared for this. Because we talked about in the earlier program that when things start happening, we can misinterpret the signs and we can become defensive. We could think that people, it's about us, and we can have a fear of man versus a fear of God and those different things that we talked about. And it's like, you know, I got to have fear of God.
That's right.
We need to be more concerned about disappointing or displeasing God than displeasing man.
Oh,
and God will test you in that. He will actually have every man that you can imagine be displeased with you.
Oh yeah.
When you're the most pleasing to God, it's like, mm-hmm. how in the world don't you know who I am and where I am? This is, you know, what are you talking about? And right. It's like, that's a test. Will you, when you have, you don't have the praise of men, will you still praise me? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's an intimate, you know, sort of like saying you're going to marry your wife. And you're like, when you say there's no other man, it's only me, nobody else, you know, are you going to be still be happy in the context of that? And so many people in America today just say, you know, if it don't work out, I got a clause, you know, I'll get out of this relationship. Well, that, you know, don't want to do that with God. Mm-hmm. And it's about loyalty to him. And so we talked about in the earlier program and in this particular chapter, when he was talking to him, he said in verse 12, he says, but before all this happens, because he said, you know, be prepared beforehand. Before all this happens, he says, you'll be seized, you'll be persecuted. They'll hand you over to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before authority, before kings and governors on account of me. We've talked about that already. And that's why we've talked about abiding. You need to build that relationship with Jesus Christ so that you know that this is what it's about and not get offended. It's not about you. It's not about me. We've denied ourselves. We picked up our cross and we follow Jesus, right? So it wouldn't be about us. Mm-mm. And he says, and the purpose of it is so that you'll give a testimony about him. I mean, how many people's working on their defense plan and their reputation plan versus like, this is a perfect time. They're abiding with God and studying. How can I preach the gospel here? Mm-hmm. And some people say, do you know how crazy they're going to think this is? And it's like, yeah, most people that are in darkness are. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. But I believe it was King Agrippa that said to Paul, you almost convinced me. Mm-hmm. You almost convinced me. Well, that's pretty powerful when you're the prisoner right. standing in chains, right? And he says, and make up your mind beforehand. And that's what we're talking about. I really believe that's what the Lord is saying. Listen, prepare yourself for this journey. Prepare yourself for it. And in verse 15, we're picking up here. He says, for I will give you at that particular time, if you prepare yourself for it, don't worry about defending yourself. He's saying here in verse 15, he says, listen, he's telling the disciples what it will be like. He says, I will give you words and wisdom. So that's what happens. And understand, I believe that's going to happen when you abide with the Lord. I mean, when you're used to hanging out with God and you're used to hearing his voice, you know, you're not easily led astray by men's conversations and men's schemes and all that stuff he talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, but you're used to hearing his voice. And he says, listen, I'm going to give you words. I'm going to give you wisdom. And so you got to get used to that now. That's how you prepare yourself. Learn how to hear wisdom now. Learn how to hear the voice of the Lord now. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow none other. Understand, that's what Jesus said. So forget about what men are saying. If they're telling you, you don't have to follow his voice. You need to actually not only follow it. He said, there'll be a day that you'll hear the voice of the Son of Man and you shall live and have eternal life. And so you cannot not know him and be saved by him. You have to know him.
Right.
And so he says, you know, verse 15, he says, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries, I mean, think about that. None of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. He's not saying you're going to walk in with some fancy ideas and you got this whole 3 points and a farewell ready to go here. I mean, because he allowed this to happen in your life and he's bringing you before authority and people that you couldn't have access to before. It's amazing who you get access to during these moments. Mm-hmm. And truly, a lot of people are just showing up to see, you know, your disgrace.
Yeah.
They're showing up. And that is your moment to shine for him, because you'll spend eternity, you know, what men think is all, you know, whatever.
Temporal.
But understand that's your moment to be faithful and loyal to him when everything is like that. And and he says, I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. And you need to learn how to abide now with God. So when you are in those predicaments, somebody says, well, what do you need? Do you want a steak? Do you want... You know, do you want a good attorney? And you can say, you know, I'd like to have my Bible and my journal.
That's right.
I'm working on something.
Right,
right.
And a pen.
And so in verse 16, he says, you, understand, this is what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That's going to happen. So don't worry about it and prepare yourself ahead of time for this. And he says, you will be betrayed. So understand that earlier part of what we're talking about in the earlier parts of the programs, and you can catch them, is that just relax a little bit. If Jesus was betrayed, you're going to be betrayed.
That's right.
I mean, of course, the shocker is who does it. But the reality is, if it happened to Jesus, it's going to happen to you. You got to brace yourself for that. The question is not, were you betrayed, is how loyal to you or to to are you to Jesus during your time of betrayal? You know, and this is what he says, you will be betrayed even by parents. He didn't say just anybody. He says, even by parents and brothers. I mean, he broke it up. You know? Mm-hmm. And sisters and relatives and friends. And they'll even put some of you to death. Mm. Welcome to the family reunion. Today we're going to crucify Uncle whoever. No, he's like, think about it, right?
That's right.
It's like, oh my goodness. This is Jesus saying this. So I don't know what Jesus people have been telling you about, but this is actually Jesus' words.
The gospel
according
to Jesus.
This is the gospel according to Jesus. And so this is what he's saying. But think about it as the love that it is that, do you still love me? Are you still loyal to me when people are demanding you to serve them over me and to love them more than you love me? Will you love me? Will you love me when things don't go right for you? Will you love me when the American gospels prove wrong and the true gospel may be in Nepal, you know, in regards to everybody don't end up with a Cadillac and a mansion but do you still love me when things are not as they makes your flesh comfortable? Do you still love me when your family doesn't love you? Think about it. That's what he says. The whole thing is, if you see it that way, it really helps out versus like, I'm a soldier and I'm going to do this thing, and you'll end up hurting somebody and maybe even hurting your eternity there. But he said, you will be betrayed. So I looked that up, and that means you will be betrayed. So just relax. You're not the first one to be betrayed, and you won't be the last one. Just pray that you're not one to betray somebody,
right?
Jim, any betrayal crickets. Anyway, so he's breaking up the family and saying, listen, relax. Everything around you could very well betray you. Not necessarily so, but some of that could. And then he says in 17, he says, and everyone will hate you. Everyone will hate you. One of the biggest difficulties that we have as human beings is wanting to be liked. Mm-hmm. Wanting everybody to like me. And you see these people that are just like, you know, they're like social butterflies. You know, they know everybody's name, mm-hmm. and they're a little bit about this person, that person, and they talk to them as if they're just, you know, great relationship. But the truth is they need that person's approval. They need to make themselves feel valuable. They're networking because they need that person to feel good about them. And if you thought that person, and maybe I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you, maybe that if you thought that person hated you, you couldn't even function. And the truth is, he's telling you, you know, prepare yourself ahead of time for this. Prepare yourself ahead of time for this, and understanding that everyone is going to hate you, not because of you deserve to be hated. That's not. Some people are hated because they're just hateful.
Right.
But he says everyone's going to hate you because of me. And that's so important. That's what I'm really talking about here. See, if you don't know this Jesus you proclaim to know, and now you start going through rough times, imprisonment, false accusations, hating on you because of him, you know, you will separate yourself from him. You won't want to remember the lawyer was, you know, talked about Jesus this and Jesus that and Jesus this, but he never brought Jesus up. Never brought Jesus up at the workplace. And the only thing we did, the only thing we asked him to do was, you know, just put this armband on that said God, mm-hmm. G-O-D, gratitude, obedience, and dependency. But it actually, the acronym was God.
Right.
And he wears it at work, and he feels like everybody's staring at him, and he just goes, ooh, you know, and it's like, yeah, now that you're wearing God on the outside. But you know what happened? It rocked his world. Mm-hmm. He became a loyal follower to Jesus Christ to the point that he gave up his law practice. He put it on the side and went to go help children who have been abandoned by their parents and is a parent to the fatherless today. Mm-hmm. He and his wife and his children went to do that. It was beautiful.
Yeah, sure did.
But it wasn't until you put God on the outside. And imagine when you begin to testify openly that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you're loyal to him above anybody else, and that you will wear anything with his name on it unashamedly. Because he said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven, which means it's not going to go good at the throne room, no matter what people tells you. Jesus said, I'll be ashamed of you. And he says, everyone will hate you because of me. That's a big, huge test in the context of our relationship with him. But then he goes on and says this, and we're going to continue this in another program, because you've got to hear every part of this, because we're talking about prophetic signs are happening everywhere right now. And it's like, my goodness, we are in that season. But Jesus goes on to say, he says, but not a hair on your head will perish. Mm. He loves you. The question is, do you love him? He says, not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. Think about that. Stand firm and you'll win life. You know, we got to go through something. A test without the test, a testimony without the test is nothing but the moanies. And that's not a good relationship. But when you have a testimony, he said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. Mm-hmm. Us going through something and us, not just us alone, but us standing before those authorities and standing before those officials and standing before our bosses and saying, listen, Jesus is the answer, brother. Jesus is the answer. Make sure you catch us. We're going to continue this conversation in our next program.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even maps. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, mm-hmm. and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your mm-hmm. iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, I went to the newsletter, and just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself and also sign up a friend.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome. I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV and the daily radio program. We'll give a big shout out to our Christian television network audience around the nation and the world, actually.
That's right.
Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
If you've been following us on our programs, we've been talking recently about an unction, a word, a vision the Lord had given about these days. And we're going through it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news, you know. We're talking about the disciples asked Jesus, what's it going to be like, you know, before you're coming and when you're coming? And so it's pretty interesting so far. If you missed the earlier programs, you need to catch them, but you can catch them all at VFNTV.com if you did miss them. It's all available to you free of charge. And so God spoke to me very specifically in this dream about this whole thing. I went to go spend abide with him that morning, and all of a sudden, then he led me to the scriptures that what he was saying, and because I'm asking God, you know, what does this mean? And then right here to Luke, you know, of all the things. And the biggest thing is he's telling us what it's going to be like, but he's telling us to be prepared beforehand. Be prepared beforehand in Luke 21. And Luke 21, verse 1 through 36 is what we've been talking about. And just, you want to be prepared. I want to be prepared. And think about it, is how often in what's being taught is that, you know, nobody's telling you to be prepared. They're just saying you're going to, you know, the rapture's going to happen. You're going to go to church. You're going to go to heaven.
One day you'll know.
You'll know, and everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. Versus being prepared to be loyal to the Lord in difficult circumstances. And he's talking about there's some things that are going to be happening before this happens. And we're starting to see some of that even now. And he even said that when these things happen, if you, you know, I'm going to give you some wisdom. I'm going to give you some words. If you're listening to me, I'm going to talk to you and you're going to hear me. And when you share those words, they're going to be so powerful that nobody can resist them or can contradict those words. Mm-hmm. But then he goes right in, even though, and understand that means these words were not about you getting out of jail free card type thing or getting out of something or whatever. It was about touching those folks. That was the whole point of it, because he goes right into, and you'll be betrayed.
Right.
So it's not about, you know, this is the big thing with the American gospel. A lot of it's been preached that everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be peachy king. Everything's going to be perfect. But that's not the Bible. That's not what the word says about the church. Mm-mm. That's not the things that Jesus is saying right here. And when you're in love and you're loyal to someone, I mean, that's going to be tested. When you're in love with the Lord, that's going to be tested. Your love's going to be tested. That's and right. He says, this is what he says. He says, that's all you'll have to be able to show him on that day at his throne room is the testing of your faith. Did you have confidence and surety? Was your faith, he said, which is more precious than gold, that you loved him through all of it. You stayed loyal to him through every bit of that. And that's what we want to be. We want to be, you know, loyal to Jesus, and which is a grace that we all need. And I'm hoping in this program we can just, you know, wrap this up and close it out. You know, and he's talking about, you know, all these things are happening in verse 17, going right into Luke 21:17 to start talking about it. He says, everyone will hate you because of me. And it's so important to understand, if we don't have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not going to pass that, because people have a fear of man. They're going to want man's approval. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather have my wife or my husband or my friend or my children love me more than God. And he says, and so that test comes in at that point. He says, but if you stay loyal to me, understand this, not one hair on your head will perish. Stand firm, mm-hmm. and you will win life. Mm. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole message being taught that's like, hey, you've already got it. There ain't no winning here.
Right.
And it's like, if you don't stay loyal to the Lord, really, you can actually betray the Lord and live for Lucifer. And God's going to go, you know, well averted, yeah. Son, enter yeah. into the... So verse 20, he starts talking about, you know, some signs now, because he talked about progressions, things that are going to happen, and this has to happen first. And we've talked about in the earlier programs. And in verse 20, he says, but when you see Jerusalem, and remember, Jerusalem is in the news now consistently. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. But think about that. When you start seeing, right now, what are we seeing right now? We're seeing Israel just surrounded. I mean, not all just directly, like right next. It's like, it's a several nations thick. And sad to say, according to what just happened recently with our own Secretary of State, John Kerry, and what our president is doing, they're fueling the enemies of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at verse 20. Jesus said, this is going to be happening. And I would say, you know, the armies themselves, you know, we don't see them, you know, manifesting, but we definitely could put a dot by it if you're actually in a time management, which means it's in process, mm-hmm. outside of God stopping it. In verse 21, he says, then let those who are in Judea flee. That's the West Bank, by the way. When you hear West Bank, that's actually Judea area. Then those who are in Judea, let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. Let those in the country not enter the city. Isn't it interesting? It's always like, get out of the city. Mm. Get out of the city. You know, we look at Lot and his wife. It's like, get out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the city. Because it's something about men when we stack up. When we don't have stuff between us, we end up, things not going well for some reason. We don't last long in that predicament in loyalty and holiness. In verse 22, he says, for this is the time of punishment. to fulfill all that has been written. So now you're looking at something taking place. He says, how dreadful it will be for those in those days for pregnant women and nursing women. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until, this is so important, until the number of the Gentiles are fulfilled. What does that mean? Is, you know, we're praying for Israel. We're praying for the salvation of the Jews. We're praying for protection of Jerusalem, and that we're praying. But the thing is that if you're not out preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, you're delaying, it's this thing that keeps happening to Israel over and over again. That's going to keep happening until the full number of the Gentiles come in. And it's not like, God's not, from what I'm reading here, you know, the words of Jesus, he's not saying, that's enough. There's a number. There is a number. There's something that he's looking for, and it's like he's waiting for us to preach the gospel to them, to tell them. Understand, we can stop the pain in Israel by preaching the gospel to the Gentile. Isn't that powerful? Mm-hmm. It just touched my heart. That's so powerful. It means that's why the enemy's trying to keep you from obeying that call on your life. You know, that's why he's trying to keep you from even just partner with VFN TV Daily Radio Program. Think about it. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're preaching the gospel to the world. You know, we want people to be saved. I mean, if you're tied up, you can't do it, partner with us. We'll do it together. But he says, listen, Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. In other words, people who don't know, who are not Jewish, will do damage to the Jews and to Israel until enough of those who are trampling over it have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, right? Is that kind of, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
And so we got to go preach to them. And then he says in 35, he says, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. Man, that sounds like the four blood moons.
Sure does.
I'm smelling something here. I mean, it's like we're close. You know, things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and on the earth, nations will be in anguish. I mean, nations. And I could just even sense America's heading in a direction. If we do not repent, if we do not turn, there's just going to be this anguish in our nation and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. You know, I just give a big shout out down to Cindy down in Lakeland. But she just sent me this dream, and it's over and over again, we're seeing the welling up of the seas. Mm-hmm. How is it? Two-thirds of the earth's covered in is an ocean or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, it's almost, you think about when you get sick, you know, your stomach, the acids in your stomach that God has designed to help digest your food, it just gets really disturbed. It's like it's an ocean going. But it's almost like this living earth at the redemption and begins to be perplexed into anguish. All of a sudden the seas just start foaming up and things start happening. And what she saw specifically was, and we'll make this hopefully available on the VFN Torch, she saw the seas get so rough that it began to just swallow these ships and take these things down. And it means something when you start seeing these things take place, and it's perplexing. Perplexing means I just can't figure, why is all this stuff happening? And look how many things are happening as we speak right now. Mm-hmm. And perplexed over the tossing of the sea, people will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And so he's talking about, you know, people are going to be terrified. They're going to be fearful. I came to give you good news. You don't have to be afraid anymore. Stop taking all that meds to just hide your fear and just start say, you know what, I'm going to build my relationship with Jesus Christ. He is able to give me a vision outside of this life. He's able to redeem my nervous system and redeem my mind. And I don't have to go to all these therapists. The reality is you're just afraid. You're fearful. You have all these fears. And it's like, as a matter of fact, I come against that spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus, and I bind it, and I command it to go in Jesus' name. And I pray that the love of God, which cast out all fear, that would just cover you, just sink you deep. Take the reins of your heart and direct it into the vast ocean of his love that would overflow in love back to him and to others. And that perfect love of God coming to you will deliver you from all this fear that's tried to come your way. Because understand, perilous times have come and are coming and are about to come, and people will faint from terror. I think about David Wilkerson when he said, listen, what's about to happen to America, even the most holiest person is going to be, you know, going through this. And that's definitely, I don't know who that is, but definitely not anybody here. So it's really going to be bad for us.
Exactly.
And so just understand these things, you're getting the wind knocked out of you, your spiritual wind. It's just going to get hit so hard. But understand that coming out of that, people are going to be saved. That's all, you know, that's how stiff-necked some folks are. And so they have to be shaken out of their, because this is all happening, because God could just come back. I mean, that's not, this, he's wanting you to know him. Sometimes you have to lose some things to get some things. Sometimes God has to take things away from you so he can make you known to the Father and you can be saved. It's not about all this stuff. The things that you see are temporary, but the things that you don't see is eternal. And God is interested in your soul. And he wants you to know him, and in that, these things happen so that that we can meet the Lord and become known to him. And he says, and at this time, he says, you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. In other words, the whole earth is just shaking and quaking, and it's anguish, and the sun and the stars and the moon, and people are being in prison, and people are being betrayed, and people are going, I'm Jesus. You know, all these things are happening all over the place, and the only ones that are going to survive that are the ones that are truly sons and daughters of God who abide with him. Apart from abiding in him, you could do nothing, John chapter 15. And so in that, you're holding on and realize, this is great. All this turmoil, all this ruckus means our Lord is soon to return. More after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it. We were just talking about what, you know, God is saying, and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing, because you know when you're hearing from the Lord, and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, right. is there something? You know, we prayed for a long time. You know, we pray for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally, is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore, because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace, I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation. He's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did, sir, that. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally
it's
put
in
a
sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about it. And so if you're God's, and not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know.
this is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And I'm like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You abide, you hang out with him, not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
You know, you get a, if you got a, how to use a Band-Aid. You remember how to use a Band-Aid. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, I am stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aid.
Yeah, very familiar with Band-Aids.
Stuck on me. And so and what you do, if you had a Band-Aid that you had to put on your arm or something like that, you know, when you put it on, it was no big problem. But remember when you would take it off, you know, you'd snatch it in a hurry, right? You know, because it's probably going to hurt, right?
Really bad.
Really. It depends on really how hairy you are, I guess.
Definitely.
The some people it hurts worse than others. And so you'd snatch it off in a hurry. It wasn't the fact that you were going to, you're probably going to lose a couple, you know, hairs on your arm or something, but you would just snatch it because it'd be less pain. You put it really slow, you know, then it would hurt, right? It's like one hair at a time ripping out of your skin. And so here I am the other day, you know, I'm, you know, I haven't put a Band-Aid on in I don't know how long, you know? And so I need to put a Band-Aid on and I just put a Band-Aid on and it was time to take the Band-Aid off. So just like you did as a kid, you know, I snatched up. I'm older now. Oh my goodness. I snatched that puppy off and a little piece of my skin came with a Band-Aid.
Oh, no.
It was horrific. I'm thinking, I'm dying. I'm
now you need another one.
I refuse. It was like a little small piece. Like, ow, you know? And it was like the part that the Band-Aid I put on, that's totally fine. But where the sticker part was,
oh my God.
It took a little piece. I'm like, I'm old. My skin came off with a Band-Aid. Forget
that's
the
bad.
It was very bad, you know? So I need prayer for my skin. Oh my goodness.
Getting old.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. That's the first thing I thought about. You know, you get older, your skin's kind of loose on your body. Well, I wouldn't know that. I guess now I do. And I remember when your grandfather.
I was thinking of the same thing.
Yeah, your grandfather got in a wreck. And,
yeah.
Oh, if you could have got a chance, those in the audience, you got a chance to meet his grandfather. He's just a real, real cool man. And he got in a wreck, and his skin. Imagine rolling your sleeve up on your arm. Mm-hmm. He had long sleeve shirts on. That his skin rolled up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they pulled it back down and sewed it on us. But skin, your skin. You know, if you don't know this yet, when you get older, you know, your skin's kind of a little bit
brittle.
Brittle, and so I was like, oh my goodness, that was not the soft part, it's the part, it's just, I need another Band-Aid, but I'm not brave enough to put another Band-Aid on, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I will just live through this pain.
I'll just die.
I'll just die first, you know, and Donna came and doctored it up for me, you know, and I'm like, my goodness gracious, so watch out, don't watch out just for the place that you're going to cover up, it's going to be healed. Watch out for the other part of the Band-Aid, man. That's a culprit. That is a culprit.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
That's so exciting, isn't it, when you think about it? He says, at that time, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and glory. And that's just like, oh, and you're thinking the whole earth is shaking and quaking. Then he says this. This is what Jesus says. He says, when these signs begin to take place, stand up and look up. Lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. So all this ruggedness and all this stuff going on is about, it's like birthing pains. It's like the earth is birthing what God's about to do, and people in the rough times, people just come running to Jesus. I mean, they just really they really realize, what was I thinking? It's like they get set free during those times. And so this is a good thing, but we have to really prepare ourselves for this because we need to remain faithful through this journey. And that's when he said, when I said at the beginning, he says, listen, verse 29, he says, he told his disciples this parable, look at the fig tree and all her trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that the summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not go away, pass away, until all these things have happened. Mm. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. I mean, think about it. That's Jesus. Forget about whatever. That's what Jesus said in his word. I mean, get in the Gospels. Read the red. And it's like, my goodness. So it's like, okay, all right. And that's what the Lord was really speaking to me about was, okay, we got to brace ourselves for this. We have to, how do I need to really, you know, make sure my abiding relationship is healthy and I can hear and understand. I have things just this morning, you know, God is speaking to me about something that he spoke to me about several years ago, but today's the day he wants to bring that into play at this part of my journey. But I had to actually record what he told me a couple years ago to understand the reason why this is happening now is because he told me, understand the Bible's 2,000 years old. To quit thinking like, well, that was last week. Understand that he just spoke to me. But as I was writing down what he said to me, and he was showing me what he was saying in his word to me when I'm sharing with you, he also told me you need to go back here and get this. And all of a sudden, what didn't make sense then totally makes sense now. And this is what's going on. So I want to encourage you. I want you to have the same experience. I want us all to get together and just talk about the goodness of God, the voice of the Lord.
That's right.
And we go, amen. That's what amen means, by the way. It means that we're hearing from the same Lord. And he says, okay, but because all this ruggedness, though, he tells us on, he goes on to say now, because you think about it, just imagine the whole earth is just shaking and you're being falsely accused. You have to understand you're being betrayed and people that you love, loved ones are doing you in and this is what's happening, and you're supposed not to defend yourself. You're supposed to wait and let God speak to you so you can win folks who are trying to kill you. You know what I'm saying? I like what Rick Joyner says. He says, you're not ready till you're willing to be humiliated for the sake of the ones that are humiliating you, right?
Right.
Because that's what he's wanting to do. We have to be able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and then you witness to them. That's hard to do.
Yes, it is.
And we're trying to get there. Pat's already there. We're trying to get there. But then he says, because of all this ruggedness, he says, but be careful. I mean, God, think about this. Jesus Christ says, be careful. He said, watch out. He says, be careful. He says, prepare yourself. I mean, he's telling us we have to participate in the process of this journey. I mean, think about it. We have to participate. You can't just sit back and think somebody else can walk this out for you. You stand alone before the throne of God. Don't miss this awesome opportunity to be loyal and loving to the one who laid down his life for you. And this is what he says. He says, be careful or your hearts will be weighted down with carousing, with drunkenness, with anxieties of life. And the day will close on you suddenly, like a trap. Suddenly. And that's what the Lord was showing me was, you know, that we have to be prepared. At any moment, at any time, in the twinkling of an eye, and this and that and the other, that all of a sudden we have to be ready for that false accusation. We have to be ready for that betrayal. We have to understand, oh, this is just that. This is just that. Relax. Go abide. If something really tragic happens, you just say, I'll be back. This is what Jesus said. I had to go spend some time with my father. That's where y'all were looking for me. He had to go by with the Lord, with the Father, with his Father. And so he says, be careful or your heart will be weighted down with carousing, with medications, with anxieties of life. And all of a sudden now you medicated yourself so much you can't even find nothing. You've drunk yourself into oblivion. You've medicated yourself with food, power, money, sex, all this kind of thing is gone. You know, you don't even know who you are anymore. And all of a sudden, suddenly this day comes on you like a trap and you miss the coming of the Lord. You miss the coming of the Lord. And that's what happens. If you misinterpret this process and the seasons, you can start thinking hopeless thoughts. You can start thinking it's over instead of it's just beginning. You can start thinking death instead of birthing. You can start thinking hell instead of heaven. You can start thinking Lucifer instead of Jesus, you know, the opposite. If you misunderstand, he said these things must happen. These things will happen. But be careful, pay attention, prepare yourself, and watch and pray. And then he says this in 35, he says, listen, this just gives you perspective. He says, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. So if people are telling you it's not going to come on you, he says, for this will come on all those who are on the face of the earth. So be on your watch. Be on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. And that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Think about that. What can we say when we're standing before him? Are we going to tell him, well, you didn't tell me. I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know. Yeah. You can't say that. You know now. And if you had 81% of the believers in America, according to statistics, don't even pick up their Bibles, how are they going to know this exists? But now you know. You don't have to necessarily read it now. You heard it. Now you know. You can prepare yourself. We have to be prepared for false accusation. We have to be prepared for betrayals. We have to be prepared for that because it'll catch us off balance. That's one thing the Lord was showing me. Is like it's just such an amazing thing to watch people who you have these great feelings towards that you want to see good things happen in their life to try to take you down. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And it's just your head just kind of like, oh, let me grab a hold of this. Let me grab a hold of this, you know. And you're still trying to be careful, hoping that they can make it in the midst of why they're trying to kill you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to prepare myself by God's grace in view of his mercy. And I want to encourage you to prepare yourself for the Lord. It's coming. Understand this, that these things have got to happen before this happens and that happens. But he says very specifically, right now, even as Israel is surrounded by her enemies, understand this, that this day, this moment, the full number of the Gentiles will stop what's happening to Israel. We can do this. Begin to preach the gospel to everyone that they might be saved.
We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you. Phone numbers, web addresses, we even have a map. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.